to the audio event of the century, featuring two lifelong best friends. We love the Leafs. We love each other. But most of all, we love William Nylander. Welcome to the Buds All Day Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Buds All Day Podcast. I'm Sats Mundeen, joined by Noah Banks.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we thought we might have a taste of Lebda tonight, but he's doing the work life, so good on him. We will discuss it, just you and I, Noah, and boy, do we have a lot to discuss. We're talking to you guys after back-to-back for the Toronto Maple Leafs, where they beat Tampa pretty convincingly last night and then had a 7-6 overtime loss to the Florida Panthers tonight. Noah, before we even have a conversation, I'll let you take it. What did you think of that game tonight?
Bro, it's so frustrating because they've been doing so well. And like, you can look at, like, since the deadline, their last six games before tonight, their last seven games going into tonight, they're 6-1 with their one loss against the Habs, where they dominated and got goalied. So the Leafs have played like seven incredible games going into tonight and score six against like one of the best teams, if not like top two team in the league. And like, it's so frustrating, man, because it's like, they've done so well and nobody's going to give them credit for the last six games and how sick they've been. Everyone's just going to focus on this one game, and it's just like super demoralizing because like, there's nothing we can do, man.
You know what? I've actually been somewhat impressed by the response I've seen on Twitter from Leaf fans. They're actually taking this a lot better than I expected, because as I'm sure anybody who's listening would know, the Leafs did blow a 5-1 lead in this game. They got down 6-5, came back, tied at 6-6, and lost in overtime. And to be honest, I'm not even mad at the team tonight. I thought they came out guns a-blazing. First of all, they had an exceptional game last night against Tampa. And then, I'm sorry, but I have to pin this one on Erik Källgren. The game was 5-2 Leafs. He lets in an absolutely horrific goal. And then, this part's not his fault, but he got injured, which forced Jack Campbell into the game. And I think that just turned the tide. Florida smelt blood in the water. They were able to come back. And to be honest, I'm not even mad because I thought the Leafs showed a lot of fight in tying that game late with that Tavares power play goal.
Yeah, like, talk about clutch there. And then what I liked is they had that first power play. I felt like they were really passing it around up high, and they were kind of playing high. And I felt like Florida was really like capitalizing on that and trying to take away like the typical like Marner playing it to like Riley and then playing it to Matthews, where they just like ping pong it back and forth. And I really like to see how they kind of adjusted midway through, and they were getting like Tavares involved down low, and they were just like, okay, like I don't want to use a playoff style game in a game that ended up being 7-6, but like front of the net, puck on the ice, like get a rebound. Like, it was just, that was like good to see that they like adjusted and they were able to come back, and like you said, showed a lot of heart and coming back. But like, man, like, it's just like, I felt like there were so many good things to take away from this game, and it just like, now it's like none of them matter, right? Like, it's just, ah, shoot.
Yeah, you said it though. They came into this game absolutely flying. They got 3 out of 4 points against two of the best five teams in the league on the road in a back-to-back. I don't think you can really be mad. And you know, if Erik Källgren doesn't let in that third goal, the whole butterfly effect happens. He probably doesn't get injured, and you're probably looking at a pretty convincing back-to-back win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I want to ask you, though, we've heard so much about, you know, learning lessons for this team and setbacks and battling through it and all these kind of things, and how many lessons can they learn? But do you think that there could be something positive to gain from this? Maybe stopping them from buying into their own hype a little too much, knocking them down a peg, and then, like we talked about earlier, having to fight back in a game and showing that they could in what was actually a pretty intense environment in Florida, which is not something you say often.
Yeah, and I think that a big thing coming out of tonight is if they had won this game, and like, let's say the game finishes 5-1, 6-1, or something stupid, I feel like the Leafs are coming out of this thinking, hey, we just like absolutely ran through the entire Atlantic. They would have been, if they won tonight, they would have been 6-1 against the top three Atlantic teams this season. I just feel like they would have been riding high. I love the fact that it's like, hey, like, okay, like, we got to regroup here. I bet practice is tomorrow. I guess they play on Thursday. I don't think we're going to be practicing tomorrow, but just get the boys back out there. Okay, we got to go back to a little bit of the basics and think, hey, we can't just dominate like we have. Sometimes you got to just play a bit more defense and maybe some lineup changes coming. I don't know, but I feel like this could be one of those things they look back on, like during a bit of a run, and say, hey, like this was a really big like building block for our team. And I guess you can take that away from it, but at the end of the day, like it just sucks losing this game, man.
I think the ideal way for this game to go would have been everything that happened, but the Leafs somehow finding a way to win. If they could have had that, you know, the adversity of blowing a 5-1 lead, going down, coming back, and then finding a way to get that victory, I think that would have been so good for this team. But honestly, I think they might take away more from this game than they would have from just a casual 5-1 win. I think the biggest fear for me by the 3-minute point of the second period was just Jack Campbell. I just wanted to get out of this game without him getting hurt, because he's coming off an injury. You know, he had to come into a game cold. I was like, Schalgren, if you can just pop an Advil and come back for the third, I do not want Jack to get hurt. So honestly, I'm just happy that we left fully healthy. We still got a point. They maintained their grip on second place. They are they're 3 points up on Tampa right now, who have a game in hand. Boston lost tonight, so Boston is also 3 points back without a game in hand. So they're still on par to get home ice advantage. So yeah, man, what did you think of Jack Campbell tonight having to come in cold?
You know, before we get into Jack Campbell, I just want to say I really like the viewpoint that you have there. Like, coming into this, I was like, I'm all doom and gloom right now. And I'm like, I always feel like I hate making the like, oh, like it's no big deal, we can learn from this. But I really liked what you said there. Hey, like this team didn't leave this game with any injuries to any players that are going to be on the ice for game one of the playoffs. They got the point. They're still looking good, getting home ice advantage in the playoffs. And we come out of it thinking, I'm losing my train of thought, but there's a lot of good things to take away from this game, even though it does suck. But, just before we get into that, I just wanted to say, I really like that. Like there is some good.
Well, they got a 50% discount on a lesson, cause they got one of their classic Toronto Maple Leaf learn your lesson game, but they still got a point out of it and they still kind of kept the ball moving forward. So, and I think a big thing for me in this game too was that Jack wasn't a sieve. Like 4 goals on 25 shots doesn't sound good, but I don't think you could realistically blame him for any of the goals. And he made multiple big saves for the Leafs. There's that big save on Claude Giroux to keep it 6-5 at one point to allow them to tie the game. So not only did Campbell avoid an injury, but I thought he also avoided kind of a shaken confidence moment as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I know we wanted to talk about Campbell, and like you said, he wasn't bad tonight. Like, I felt like he gave the Leafs a chance to win, especially on that play. That play, that toe save was absolutely massive, and he, like, it's the game-winning goal is a two-on-one rush with two of the best players in the league. So even if you want to pin that goal on Jack Campbell, it's a two-on-one with him sliding to try to make a desperation save. Like, he's not going to get that every time. You can't, like, pin that on him in a 3-on-3 overtime game. So a lot of good to take away. It seems that he's somewhat back. I know he's not. I think it's unreasonable to expect him to be November version of himself, but still a really good game from him. And I think that builds confidence, right? Like there's confidence in Jack Campbell when he's making saves like that one big toe save to keep the boys in the game before they tied it back on the power play.
Yeah, he's making a lot of big saves right now, and he still looked fairly comfortable in net. Like I said, none of the goals were egregious by any means. And then you look at the other end of the ice, I'm probably feeling better about our goaltending situation than I would if I were Florida, because Bobrovsky pulled for the second straight game, got pulled allowing 6 goals to the Devils. And then tonight, I think he allowed 5 against us. If you were, contracts aside, who would you rather have in your net for the rest of the season, Jack Campbell or Sergei Bobrovsky?
Well, my big thing is Sergei Bobrovsky was not even on the bench in his last playoffs. He was sat for, I think it was game 5 and game 6, or it was game 4 and game 5. I know the final 2 games, Florida didn't even dress him. And last year, Jack Campbell had a 9:30 in the playoffs. So I like Jack Campbell right now. I think they said it on the broadcast where they were, the way that Bobrovsky plays, when he loses it, he really loses it. And I think if you're
Peter Mrazek.
Exactly, but I think if you're Sergei Bobrovsky and you're thinking, man, I just absolutely got lit up by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they're going into a series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think that's sitting in the back of his head, where he's going two games this season, I got chased by the Leafs and I lost a big game against the Leafs. And I think that that messes with you because goalies are so like crazy in the head about that kind of stuff. So I think that that might leave a little bit of doubt in his mouth. So I'd be running with Campbell if I had the choice of the two of them right now.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. If you look at the goaltending situation as a whole with Spencer Knight back there as a backup, maybe you feel a little bit better about Florida. But again, he's a rookie. You know, he had a really bad start to the year. He's come on lately, but I can't say you'd feel a ton more confident in Florida's net. And honestly, they look like a pretty vulnerable team to me. I think a lot of that third period comeback was also fueled by the fact that the Leafs were playing on the second night of a back-to-back. And that's two games in a row where we've looked the better team for a majority of the game against them. So I'm feeling really good about the way we stack up against pretty much any team in the division. And the main thing I'm just rooting for is just, I know we lit him up last night, but Andre Vasilevsky, I just do not want any part of that guy. You give me Swayman, you give me Bobrovsky, you give me Spencer Knight, you give me Frederik Andersen, I'll feel okay about the goaltending, and I think this team has enough to overcome it, especially with the way Marner is playing, because he has 7 points in his last two games, and I am just continually blown away by the guy.
Yeah, Marner has been nothing short of incredible. The him and Matthews connection is undeniable. They just don't look like a duo that can be stopped by anything, except for maybe the Habs of last year. That's the only thing that scares me right now, and they're out of the playoff picture, so we don't have to worry about them. But I don't know how you can look at Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, and no matter what happens, goaltending, defense, the bottom six, like those two are playing at a level right now where it's almost like they're undeniable. Like they're inevitable. It's not if they're going to score, it's when, how. They're like the Harlem Globetrotters out there. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, they're the Thanos of lines. They're just inevitable. You got to be aware of them at any time because they can strike in a hurry. We saw it against Tampa last night. They made a really good defensive group look silly at times. And then again tonight, Florida's defensive group, not exactly up to the Tampa Bay level, but still, they were just making silly plays. Like the number of passes that he makes every game that I'm just like, I didn't even see that from the TV angle. I don't know how he saw it himself. I think it makes it more understandable why Sheldon Keefe doesn't want to separate those guys. Because if you can, you know, get a second and third line that are even average, that can play anything close to even with the other team's second and third lines, you're feeling very, very good about your chances with that first line clicking the way it is.
And you said something though that I really liked. You mentioned the Florida Panthers defense, and I just had a comment. I thought that they looked slow tonight. Like, I know they're missing Ekblad, and I know that he is a huge part of their decor. And if you're playing them in a playoff series, he's probably going to be touching 30, like just with how important he is to that decor. But man, like, they looked slow tonight, and just like they couldn't keep up with a tired Leafs team's forecheck. I felt like they weren't getting a lot done. I think Sherratt and Gudas, I think that's a lot of like the slow toughness that might work in the playoffs. But if the Leafs are playing like that in the playoffs, like I think you're nervous about having those two guys out there against such a lethal team like the Leafs. They're just slow and like big for nothing, right? Like just can't really, I don't know.
Yeah, they couldn't slow them down. And I thought two guys, we talked about them last podcast, who have just exposed Florida's defense and Tampa Bay's is Mikheyev and Engvall. Like their speed is just undeniable. Mikheyev gets a breakaway first minute of the game or first couple shifts, whatever it was. And then he has another chance in the second period. Like he's been flying. And I think that speed, yeah, we'll see how it goes in the playoffs once they clutch and grab a little more. But like you have to still be able to catch up to somebody to clutch and grab them. And I can't see Ben Sherratt's ass catching up to Ilya Mikheyev, even if it's game one of the playoffs.
No, 100%. And I don't even know if it's just the speed, because like there's lots of like those water bug type players in the league. It's just like they're also just so powerful on the forecheck. Like what's Mikheyev, 6'4", Engvall, 6'5". Like they skate like the wind. And then when you try to like, it's not like he's some 5'9 guy you can just throw off. Like they get the puck and they're powerful and they're like hard to knock off the puck. They're just big and strong. And like they, like you said, they looked really good tonight. They looked really good yesterday. And if we're going to do anything in the playoffs, those two having big shifts on the third line is going to be a huge instrumental part in that playoff success that we're hoping for.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if we are going to talk about slow defensemen, I think we should acknowledge the return of Jake Muzzin. He had his first game tonight. A lot of people kind of criticizing that Hall-Muzzin pairing. I think a little bit unfairly, to be honest, they were actually the Leafs' best defensive pair in terms of expected goals tonight, right around 50%. They were a plus one. I think a lot of where we saw them struggling was on the penalty kill tonight. So what did you think of Jake Muzzin and then kind of the pairing as a whole?
Yeah, like I don't want to like absolutely rip Jake Muzzin here because that's his first game since like February, I think. February or like it's been over a month, I think, since we've last seen Muzzin. So like I don't want to absolutely tear him apart that he was like how he looked out there because like systems can change and all sorts of stuff. But I don't even know if tonight was dressing him tonight was even the right play from the start. Like he just. I want to see more. I'm not ready to make a huge analysis off of him if he should play in like the game one lineup come playoff time, just off this one game. But I feel less confident about him right now than I did going into today.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say I feel worse about him because we've kind of seen this from him when he's come back before too. It takes him a little couple games to kind of get up to speed. And I think Sheldon Keefe's probably going to take that same strategy with it. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple more games of Hall and Muzzin to see if they can get their chemistry back, to see if he can kind of get up to speed. But you're right. He didn't do anything to really make you feel like he's turned over a completely new leaf. But I just simply wasn't expecting that tonight. He kind of was what I expected. Looked a little slow. And yeah, just especially on the penalty kill, they weren't great. But I know they sat Labushkin tonight. Do you think that they keep him out of the lineup? How do you think they make the adjustments going into the next one?
I think he'll come back. Just I think that they'll want to make some sort of change on the D. I'm not sure who comes out. Giordano and Liljegren weren't on the ice for a goal or an assist or a goal against or a goal for. So I don't know if you'd break that up because they were pretty just steady back there. So I got a feeling that they might take Hall out just based off of the amount of goals that he was on the ice for as more of like a not really a punishment, but just he's been playing a lot of hockey recently in the top four. Like just give him the night off and then maybe try Labushkin because I don't think you want Labushkin sitting too much in the playoff coming up to the playoffs, especially if he's going to play in the game one lineup. So I think Labushkin will play next game. They're playing Dallas and Dallas is a pretty heavy team. So I think you'd want Labushkin out there. So I'm going to guess it's probably Hall, because it doesn't really make sense to sit Muzzin coming back from injury or any of the other guys. I think Hall's got to be the guy, eh?
Yeah, it wouldn't be shocking to me. And if Labushkin does come back, I wouldn't be shocked to see him with Muzzin either because we saw Riley and Brody back together tonight, and they were actually the Leafs' worst pairing, 31% expected goals. TJ Brody had that kind of bad penalty that led to the first goal for Florida in the game that looked like it came as a result of him being a little bit uncomfortable on the right side. So I'm wondering if the plan is to have those two together, that maybe they don't put Labushkin with Riley again. They put Riley with Brody to kind of get that chemistry back, get that feel back, if that's what they're going to go into the playoffs with. So I think you're right that Labushkin probably does slide in for Hall. Off chances for Liljegren just because he's a rookie, but I don't know for sure. It's going to be interesting to see what they do down the stretch because I think I heard, I don't know who from, but that the Leafs kind of plan on rotating guys in and out. And if they include Muzzin, Riley, Giordano, and Brody in that, I'd be all for it just to kind of do the NBA-style load management that Lebda and I always love to talk about on the podcast. But there's kind of a fine line, too, because Giordano said it when he first came in that, you know, it takes a couple games to develop that chemistry with a defense partner. So I hope Keith kind of toes the line between, you know, rotating guys in and out for rest, trying new things, and also getting some consistency going by playoff time.
And I wonder if Sandin's ready to come back too. If that makes them want to rotate more guys in and out, like you said, with the NBA doing the load management. Because I think if Sandin is a option come playoff time, I feel like they'd probably want to get him in a couple regular season games down the stretch, and not just have him sit for a month plus and then pull him back in coming off of an injury, and then you're throwing him into like a game 4, 5, 6 in the first or second round. I feel like they'd probably want to get a handle on that beforehand. But and so if he's ready to go, I think that we could totally see what you suggested with guys like Muzzin or maybe Giordano or someone else sitting just to get some of the young guys in and get those old guys some right some rest.
Yeah, I think there's, it would be interesting to kind of try Giordano with some other guys, but there's part of me who's like, that's almost the one pairing with him and Liljegren that I don't want to touch at all. I kind of want to go in with them as our like 2B pairing and just try to figure out what we can do with the other ones. I think at playoff time, the two locks that I would have if Riley and Brody can recapture what they had earlier is Riley, Brody, Giordano, Liljegren, and then you're just trying to figure out who you're going to play with Muzzin and kind of work around that. And honestly, if Jake Muzzin doesn't play up to the level that we can hope, I wouldn't be totally against setting him, but I just feel like that's not really an option for the Leafs at this point. We know they love him, and we know he is the kind of guy who's probably going to look a lot better in a playoff scenario. So there's a lot that could to watch for in these next 12 games, really.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there. Like we don't know what playoff Muzzin looks like, so I'd like to see what he can do. Maybe with like we talked about earlier with like the clutch and grab, and maybe if that helps him out a little bit. But he's I don't think there's a situation unless there's an injury where Jake Muzzin isn't playing game one. He's just they've shown too much love for him, and I think they respect him as a pro too much to make him sit, even if it's the right play and it's clear that he's not one of the best six defensemen. I think that they'll still play him.
Yeah, and you bringing up that clutch and grab kind of reminds me a little bit about the two goals that Hall was on for. That makes me think maybe he's not a part of the playoff picture, and that was just the plays in front where he kind of loses his man. He's not as tough as you'd like in front, so I'm honestly thinking right now if somebody's out on the right side, I'm assuming Sandin's out on the left, I think it might be Justin Hall who's out of there just because clutch and grab, playoff hockey, greasy goals. I think you just want the guys who clear the net front. So that's why I think a guy like Muzzin, a guy like Lyubushkin, a guy like Giordano, those guys are pretty much rock solid locks to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and I think the veteran presence and the fact that like Muzzin's got a cup ring and he's played in the playoffs before and he's been successful there helps him a lot too. I feel confident in Jake Muzzin turning it on and having a big game. Instead of playing someone else who doesn't have the potential that Muzzin has to hit those big games where he can be a real difference maker.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering, this was actually an idea that Lebda texted me the other day, was if the D all continue to look so good, maybe the Leafs go 7D. Maybe they have Sandin in there kind of as an offensive option and they go, you know, Kasha comes back, they sit Spets and they just have a Kasha Blackwell fourth line, and they keep Nylander on the third line, just rotate him on both bottom six lines. There's, I'm not saying that's a likely thing to happen, but depending on the way that you know, Sandin, Hall, all these guys play down the stretch, if you have that many quality NHL defensemen, it might not be the worst idea to just roll with seven of them. Although that kind of, part of me is like, I don't know if I want to break up and have guys playing with different people all the time.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea, especially like if you think that you get more value out of playing like it'd probably be Sandin, playing Sandin as your seventh defenseman. And like we know, like I bet he could probably play a forward shift. I don't know how great that'd be in a playoff series, but if you have if you do that rotation, is playing Sandin at D more valuable to you than playing Spezza, Simmons, Clifford on your fourth line? Like playing one of those guys on your fourth line, or like a Matthew Nyes, I don't know if he's going to play, but I guess it just comes down to, do we think that Sandin is more valuable than one of the old guys playing third, like as the third man on a fourth line? And honestly, like you might have a pretty good case for that, that Sandin having those offensive zone shifts is more valuable. So I totally wouldn't hate seeing the 7D in the playoffs at all.
Yeah, and especially if you are going to keep Willie on the third line, because then you have a perfect guy who you can double shift into that fourth line role, because you know the third and fourth line probably play about a combined maybe 20, 22 minutes of ice time in the game. So it's not like it'd be that much of a load for Willie. And then you could just cycle Matthews in for a shift, do whatever you can. And then, yeah, if you're up one in the third, Muzzin rolls on that third pair. If you're down one in the third, you have Sandin there to create offense. But there's just such a huge part of me that is so against sitting Spezza in the playoffs after what he did for us the last two seasons with those huge goals in game six against Montreal. I think it's something they may go into deeper in a series if it's kind of folding out that way. But I think Spezza is going to get a chance in game one to kind of show that he's still got it.
And Spezza's got that, like, I don't know if you mentioned the Columbus series. Like, he has that big fight. Leafs have that big comeback. Like, he's definitely got, there's something about Spezza that, like, the guys get rallied around. So, yeah, I think you're right. Having Spezza in the playoffs is probably too valuable. And having him being able to turn the clock back and have one of those big games like he's had before is probably too enticing to give up early in a series.
All right, now before we get into the stars of the game, Noah, we were reading here a couple interesting comments from Keefe after the game. So why don't you let our listeners into what Keefe said post game?
Yeah, so Keefe's comments post game, he says, "We go from being on a breakaway with a chance to make it 6-1, don't score, then follow that up with a too many men on the ice penalty right after. So it starts to snowball. Inside of that, we had some pretty terrible penalty killing." What I like about Keefe's comments there, like, he didn't really say anything that the media can, like, take away and talk about for the next couple days. He's not given them anything to latch onto. I think back to that Rangers game where he was, he called them soft or whatever, and that snowballed and was this huge deal in the media. And the fact that he didn't really give them anything to say, so they're not, I know they're going to be talking about it tomorrow, but there's not some huge comment that's going to show up on the front page of Sportsnet as the big takeaway from this game. So just kind of like keeping it low key so his team doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and I think if anybody's being rational, they're not really going to be very mad at the Leafs for what they did tonight on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, it's hard to play against a fresh team when you're tired. And, you know, the Rangers game that they had, that he said that after, they deserved what they had coming to them. But if he said it tonight, it would just kind of be classic Toronto media move, not a classic Toronto coach move. So I like that Keefe kind of kept it calm. And he also didn't say the biggest reason, which was Shalgren turning the game around with that goal as well. So he's right. I think, you know, you can find things to work on with the team. I'm sure he lit him up a little bit in the room after, but didn't get too bad. He was probably pretty reasonable about it, but said, "Hey, this is what we got to work on. Let's come to work tomorrow, get this and focus on Dallas." So I'm pretty happy with his comments as well.
Yeah, like what he's saying to the media probably isn't the same thing he's saying into the room. I like that you mentioned that.
Yeah, now before we do leave here, I think we should do a stars of the last two games since we're covering a two-game spot. So, Noah, there are some very obvious picks, but I'm going to give you first pick, and I have a bit of a tingling sensation that tells me you're going to go slightly off the board.
Well, the first game with the Panther, against the Lightning, it's pretty easy to pick Austin Matthews. He's three goals away from tying the franchise record, and then pots a hat trick to tie Rick Vive at 54 goals to catch him at the single season Leaf goal record. So Austin Matthews with that big three goal one assist performance yesterday is my star of the game for yesterday. And then for today, I think I'm going to go with John Tavares. You know, he didn't play in the playoffs last year, so we don't really have a good sense of if he truly is Captain Clutch. But in a game where his team is down,
the passion,
the passion that unites us all. But in a game where his team's just given up five unanswered, he comes back, scores a big goal on the power play to keep to tie the game up. So I make Tavares my star of tonight's game.
Yeah, and that goal that he scored was an absolute greaser too. It was, it was a real Captain Clutch style goal. So I like that selection. To be honest, when we were doing this, I thought we were picking one for both. So I was gonna go with Matthews. So let me just think here for a second. So for tonight,
sorry,
I think it's no. You threw me a curveball, and I liked it. I was all here for it. So
keeping you on your toes.
Star, I don't think you can go with anybody outside of Mitch Marner. Two goals, two assists, played sensational. 25 minutes on the second night of a back-to-back, and he didn't really look tired at any point. So Mitch Marner has to be my star of the game for tonight. And my star for the Tampa game, since you went Matthews, and since I already took Mitch Marner for one of them, I got to give last night's star to Jack Campbell. I thought he looked just like the classic Jack Campbell that we saw last year. 34 shots, two goals, and then even tonight, like I said, you know, four goals on 25 shots, but I wouldn't say he looked downright terrible. So it's good to see, you know, that it's the return of the Jack. Jack is back, whatever you want to say. I think I'm feeling a lot better about our situation in net after the last three games.
Yeah, 100%. He looked really good last night, and he made big saves tonight when he needed to. So going into the Dallas game, I think he'll probably play that. That's the team he was drafted by. So I am definitely feeling confident in Mr. Campbell right now.
Yeah, now if Shalgren is injured, do you think we see the reappearance of Michael Hutchinson?
Yeah, well, there was an interesting tweet today talking about Carter Hutton's now joining the Marlies. He's listed on their official website. So I don't know if that means that Hutchinson's now potentially available to come up to the Leafs. But I don't think they'd want to risk if Shalgren's kind of like iffy. I don't think they'd want to risk him having to go in against Dallas with an injury. So I think for sure we might see Mr. Inevitable, Michael Hutchinson, make a return. Michael Clutchinson. He always comes back.
He's the inevitable, like, and he's more of like the actual Thanos is inevitable, because Matthews and Marnerline, when they're inevitable, it's absolute glory for us. When Hutchinson comes in, it's almost worse than the Thanos snap. So I hope we don't have to see him, but the Leafs, you know, they play Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So they don't have any back-to-backs. They're pretty much playing mostly every other night. So I'm wondering if they just keep Campbell going, but they have to be aware. They do not want to burn this guy out. He's our only hope, and our goalies are dropping like flies. So, yeah, if Shalgren's injured, you're definitely going to see Hutchinson on either Saturday, April 16th, or Sunday, April 17th, because that's a back-to-back. And honestly, I think Campbell probably gets the next four games, I would think. There's a decent gap in those games, and there's no real back-to-back still then. So hopefully Shalgren's okay and we don't have to come to that terrible scenario. But priority number one, I don't care if you lose a game 7-0. Do not let Jack get hurt. I tweeted out, I would almost rather have played with an empty net tonight than put Jack back in there, because I was so scared he was going to hurt himself.
I saw that tweet, and I almost replied to it that they should probably put the emergency backup in and just protect Campbell and just tank the 2 points. Just keep him out of there.
Too bad. If David Ayers were the e-bug, I think they definitely would have. They know that guy's an absolute stud, but you know, the guy tonight, who knows who it could have been. It was an absolute wild card. So glad Jack made it out alive. Glad the Leafs were able to get 3 out of 4 points against, you know, the two best teams in our division outside of the glorious Toronto Maple Leafs. So with that said, Noah, do you have anything else you'd like to add to our podcast tonight?
No, hopefully people are keeping their heads up high. It's a rough loss, but don't get too down on yourselves, guys.
Yeah, I feel similar to how I felt after the Montreal game. Well, definitely better, but just similar in that a lot of people are kind of losing their minds, and I'm like, 51 shots and Jake Allen stones us, or blow a 5-1 lead, but our rookie goalie kind of hung us out to dry with a shitty goal and then got hurt. So not as dark as it seems by a lot of people, and I'm sure we'll get a nice win on Thursday to help us overcome it. But thanks again for coming on, Noah, and thank you everybody else for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff, and follow us on Twitter. We will talk to you later.